Would you please pray with me? Holy God, we come to you now and ask that your word would speak to us, that we would submit ourselves to it and ask for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, illumine our minds, and give us the grace to give ourselves fully to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in an era of seemingly unlimited choices. All around us, every day, there are infinite number of choices that we get to choose from. Sometimes it feels like too many. Have you ever heard the phrase decision fatigue? Sometimes you have so many options in front of you, too many choices that you have to make every single day, and it just gets tiresome. Have you ever had that experience of scrolling through all of your streaming platforms, trying to find just the right movie or show to watch, and you end up wasting away the whole evening looking for something? I know Bill does, yeah. I'm not the only one. But we have so many choices in front of us all the time. I think about when I go into Kroger and I go into the peanut butter aisle, and there is just wall-to-wall options of peanut butter. So many options of peanut butter. How are there so many options of peanut butter? I do not know. But it can be overwhelming. That's why, and I say no offense to any Kroger people, and I know we got some Kroger employees that come here. But my family, we are Aldi shoppers. We are Aldi loyalists. Because at Aldi, what you see is what you get. And it's so easy. They have three options of peanut butter: crunchy, creamy, and natural. And it's just so easy. You don't have to spend all the fretting and worrying about, am I making the right choice of peanut butter? I did our family shopping this last week, and I took along Andrew, our little four-year-old, and it's easy enough for him. He loves to help, and I can say, Andrew, go pick us out some peanut butter. And he can just go to the shelf and grab it off. He knows exactly what we're getting, and it's easy enough for a four-year-old. The limiting options is actually to make it easy for us. And the Lord is gracious and kind to us in presenting us our choices for our lives and for our eternity in a very simple way. You can choose life, or you can choose death. Not only does he present to us the choices, but he makes sure that we know in advance what it's going to cost us and what the end result is going to be. And I want to just emphasize that this is a kindness to us, that he would show us with clarity and honesty what the reality of our souls is, what the reality of the choices are in front of us, and what they're going to cost us. All of this is intended for us to make it easier for us to choose life, which is his desire for us. So we're going to be looking today at Deuteronomy chapter 30, our Old Testament lesson. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me there to Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 15. Then we'll bring our gospel in a little bit later. But as we look at the end of Deuteronomy, the end of the Pentateuch, the Torah, the nation of Israel is standing on the border of the promised land, ready to cross in. And all of Deuteronomy is essentially one long speech from Moses, God's prophet, where at the end of 40 years in the wilderness, he is looking back and reminding the people of everything that the Lord has done, how he has brought them to this point, getting ready to cross in to the promised land. And Moses is not going with them. Moses knows he's not going into the promised land, that he's going to die here before he crosses the Jordan. So this is his farewell speech. This is his swan song, his summary of everything that the Lord has said through him. And in his final words to the people of Israel, he wants to lay out for them what is most important, what is most essential for them to know before they cross the Jordan River. He lays before them starkly their call, the choice that they have to make as a people, the choice of who they want to be. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." The Lord, through Moses, is presenting the options before us and setting the terms. Here's the choice you have to make to decide who you want to be as a people. You can choose life or you can choose death. There are two possible options in front of you, two paths. One's the path of prosperity and blessing and life. The other is of destruction and curses and death. You can walk with the Lord and toward your life, or you can walk toward your death. There are no other options. So the choice is made clear before Israel, before us. Who do we want to be? What choice will we be making with our lives? Life or death? And to us who are so used to unlimited options, our hearts, our ears are so used to a whole aisle of peanut butters, this can feel a bit harsh. It can feel a bit strong. But what the Lord is doing here is giving to Israel, giving to us, a clear picture of reality. And it's a kindness to us. So it would be cruel for him not to let us know what reality is, what the choice really is before us. Because it turns out the unlimited smorgasbord of options in front of us that our postmodern world tries to present to us, it's an illusion. It's not real. The Lord shows us the deeper truth that our choices are not unlimited, they are two. And for him to give us the option for choosing life, that in itself is a mercy and a kindness, because humanity as a whole has chosen death. So the Lord here presents the options. He sets the terms. We either agree and obey, or we disagree and disobey. We choose life or we choose death. He's laying out for us the path and what the choices are. But he doesn't just set these before us and then say, well, choose whichever one you like. He says in verse 16, for I command you today to walk, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you. He's laying out life and death and then commanding us to choose life, to choose love, to choose his way. God wants us to choose life. He wants us to know eternity and blessing with him. He is not desiring that anyone should perish, but that all repent and choose life. He commands this because he loves us. He desires our blessing. He desires our life that can only be found down this one path. The Lord's commands are always for our blessing. They are always for our good. So the Lord is laying out these two ways for us, life and death, and he's shouting at us, putting up all the signposts and flashing lights saying, go this way. Go towards life. Choose to love the Lord. Choose his ways. Choose obedience to him. So he's laying out the options for us and letting us know what it is that's at stake. Life and death. Blessing and curse. But the Lord knows how prone our hearts are to wander and to turn to other gods. Verse 17 and 18, he says, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, you're choosing the way of death. You're not just in rebellion against God, not just turning away from him, not just choosing one other option among many. You're going toward your own destruction. The Lord commands us to choose life because that's his desire for us, and his command is because we know he knows we need the force of command to go that way, because we're so inclined to go the way of death. And he warns us against all these false gods, false idols that we can serve. There are so many other options, it seems, for other gods that we can turn to and follow and give ourselves to. Not only for Israel, but for us, there's a pantheon of gods to choose from. We can worship ourselves, have ourselves at the center of the universe. We can give ourselves to our careers, to our entertainment and pleasures, to our hobbies, to our politics, to our relationships. There are more gods and idols in this world than there are peanut butter options. But all of these represent but one path, the path that leads to death. And our hearts and our feet are so prone to wander in this way. These other gods are the things that claim our hearts, that have a hold on our affections and desires and priorities in our lives. Idolatry today doesn't look like bowing down before a gold statue. It looks like giving yourselves to things that are not Jesus. Do you know how to diagnose in yourself whether you're worshiping other gods or other idols? It's asking yourself, what am I willing to sacrifice for? Gods always demand sacrifice. What am I willing to sacrifice for at the expense of other things? What am I willing to pay the cost to serve at the expense of other things? That's how we can know when we are serving other gods, other idols. And the Lord says, when you serve these other gods, you will surely perish, because this is the way of death, where God is no longer first. It's not simply a matter of order of priorities, as if God is number two or three on my list rather than number one, but it's choosing the way of death and walking in that path. So maybe it looks like our lives have hundreds of different options for what we worship, but the Lord is telling us that there are really just two: life or death, the way of the Lord or the way of anything else. And here's the sad truth, that we, in our sinfulness, are unable to choose life on our own strength. We are unable, by the strength of our own will, to walk that path of life. Our hearts are always inclined towards sin, prone to wander and turned in on ourselves. Since Adam and the fall, we will always naturally choose the way of death, the way of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But the good news is that there is one who has chosen life for our sakes. There is one who walked in holy obedience, who held fast to the Lord on our behalf, that he lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died. And now he is holding out his hand to us, inviting us to take hold so that he can pull us along the way of life. We have failed. We have sinned. We have worshipped other gods. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is the one whom we can now cling to and walk with as he leads us in the way of life. He's the one who's gone from death to life, and it's by following him, holding fast to him, picking up our cross and coming after him that will lead us in the way of life. So in the new covenant, the invitation now is for us to cling to the one who is carrying us along the path of life, because he is our only hope for going the path of life. Jesus says we're to take up our cross and to follow after him and to love him more than all other things in order to follow after him and be his disciple. We're called to bind ourselves to Jesus so that where he is, there we are. Moses said, hold fast to the Lord, for he is our life and our length of days. He is our joy. He is our blessing. He himself is our peace. To know Jesus is to know life, and to cling to Jesus is to be carried along the path of life that he's walked before us. But Jesus, in his mercy, wants us to know there is a cost to walking this path. He says, if you take hold of me and let me take hold of you, it's going to come with a cost. And he wants us to know it ahead of time. He's not going to bait and switch us, saying, you've chosen me. Now you got to know the cost I'm exacting of you. He says, no, count the cost. And with full knowledge of what you're getting yourself into, commit to walking the way of life. And the cost is this. Renounce everything else and commit to following Jesus. Jesus says, if we do not choose him above all other things in our life, even all other good things, our families, our spouses and parents and children, even our own lives, if we don't renounce those things, we cannot be his disciples. We cannot walk the way of life with him. When Jesus says, unless you hate your father or mother or sister or brother or children or even your own life, what he means is to say that our love for him, our allegiance to him must be so great that our love for ourselves and our families pales in comparison. He is to have our first loyalty, our first love, to give to Jesus everyone and everything. Because to put other things in that place of primacy in our hearts is the way of death. We cannot be his disciples. To be his disciple is the way of life. So the Lord is pleading for us, commanding us, inviting us to go this way, the way of life, because he's longing for our blessing. Go this way, cling to Jesus, claim to be his disciple, and let go of everything else. Bind yourself to him so that he can carry you along the way of life, forsaking everything else to claim him as our Lord. So the two ways that the Lord presents through Moses, Jesus now clarifies. The way of life is the way of the cross. The way of death is everything else that would compete for our hearts. The way of life is clinging to Jesus. And the way of death is everything that would compete for our hearts. So there are two takeaways I think the Lord wants to speak to us today through these passages. First is that the options that are in front of us, what we give our lives to, they are not infinite, they are two. They are life or they are death. The Lord is showing us the reality of our situation and what lies before us. It's not Kroger, it's Aldi. Not infinite number, it's two. So maybe we need to stop thinking of our lives and our days as a ranked list of priorities. I think many of us are inclined to. I've found myself inclined to think of my life as a ranked list of priorities, as if some days and some seasons Jesus is number one, but other times he slips down to three or four as other things take higher priority in my life, in my soul, with my time. But no, what the Lord is showing us is that life is not ranked priorities, but it's the path you choose at the exclusion of the other path. A yes to Jesus is a no to everything else. And a yes to anything else ends up being a no to Jesus. There are only two options, life or death, blessing or curse, Jesus or nothing. So maybe instead of asking where Jesus is ranking in our priority list today, as if he's but one variety of peanut butter, maybe we can ask, am I walking the Jesus way in this situation, in my work, in my relationships, and how I use my time? Am I on the path of life? And we can check ourselves, and when we're on the wrong path, when we're giving ourselves to other gods, other idols, other priorities, we repent. We turn. We get back on that Jesus path. I think the Lord would have us to see that our options are not unlimited, but they're just two. Secondly, the second application for us is just that we need to let the Lord set the terms of our lives. Where these two ways might feel a little limiting to us, to our modern and postmodern ears and our hearts, we like the options. We like the freedom that it gives us. But the Lord's saying it's an illusion. And here's what is really in front of you. Two ways. And the Lord has the right to present this to us. The Lord has the right to set the terms for our entrance into life. Often we want to be able to set the terms for our faith. We like it cafeteria style, a la carte, where I think I'll take some of that, but I don't want any of that. I like the grace and the forgiveness. I don't like the dying to self. I like the loving other people. I don't like the obedience to God's moral laws. We want to make this choice on our own terms. We want to say, I'll follow you, Lord, but I still need to be able to do things in my own way and in my own time and toward my own desired ends. I'll take my Christianity comfortable, please, as long as it doesn't impose upon my lifestyle or my ambitions or my hobbies or my politics. But brothers and sisters, the Lord sets the terms for us coming into life. He has set before us life and death. He's given us the entrance into the way of life. And he's begging us, commanding us to choose life. Because he's gone the way of death himself, the way of the cross, so that we can have life and have it abundantly. He's opened the door for us to go down that path. And he's the one who carries us when our hearts and our feet are prone to wander. So he gets to decide how that happens and what it looks like and what the cost is. So I think the call for us is to come to him on his terms and not ours. To surrender to him as the Lord, saying, you're in charge, and I follow you, and I follow you in your ways, Lord. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord, we want to make him our Lord, our master, the one who's in charge and gets to call the shots. So the invitation for us is to choose life, to come the Jesus way in Jesus' ways. Moses ends his plea with this: now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. He says the way of life is to love the Lord, to listen to him and obey him, to hold fast to him with all of your life, to cling to Jesus in obedience and allegiance and loyalty above all other things. For he is your life, Moses says. This is the rationale that Moses gives for this choice, that the Lord is your life and everything else is death. So cling to him. He is your life. Choose him. He's the one who's made the way for us to come to life, and we can only walk that path by clinging to him. So in a life that's seemingly filled with myriad choices every single day, there is one choice that matters above all others, and it is blessedly simple. Will we choose life, or will we choose death? It's not multiple choice. It's not fill in the blank with whatever you want. It's not the choice of your favorite peanut butter or flavor of ice cream. It's an either or choice that we will choose. That everything in our life is choosing every day. life or death. And it's no hyperbole for us to say the gospel is a matter of life and death. So choose life, the Lord pleads with us and commands us. Go this way. Cling to Jesus, the author of life, the one who has won our salvation and made the way for us to walk the path of the Lord into eternity. So, brothers and sisters, our invitation today is to cling to Jesus, to give to him everything, to surrender to him on his terms, in his ways, so that he can lead us down the path of life he's calling us to. It's by his grace that we walk this. And it's by clinging to him that he will lead us. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your kindness, the mercy you show us in revealing to us the reality of our situation and what is before us. I pray for each one of us here this morning. I pray for each one of us in this room, and even for our children who are learning in godly play. Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts the call you've laid before us. And that for those of us who've been walking in the wrong path, Lord, that you would give us grace to turn around, to repent, and to give ourselves to you, that you might lead us in the way of life. For those of us who are striving to walk down that path of life, Lord, would you correct us where we are wrong? Would you correct us when our feet are prone to wander down the wrong path? And in your love and mercy, would you lead us in your truth? Lead us to cling to you more tightly and to give ourselves to you more fully. Because you have given yourself to us. You have died that we might be washed clean, forgiven of all of our sins, and made new in your blood. You have been raised to life for our justification, that we might be made right with you, O Lord, that we might be called your sons and daughters, that we might know even here and now the blessings of eternity as we walk in your life. Give us the grace, O Lord, to give ourselves to you. For you are the Lord, and we are yours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.